Welcome to Healing Scars with Pastor Burton, the official podcast of Cross Christian Fellowship, Route 66, in the heart of Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Burton is the lead pastor. We're glad you're here.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the sanctuary. Forgive me, I'm a little off my A game today. Yesterday was a little bit of a rough day, so I'm going to ask everybody, your prayer time, your prayer list, keep the families of Travis Harris and Nate Lynam in prayer. Travis, I served with in the Marine Corps many moons ago. I just found out yesterday morning that he passed away a couple weeks ago. His family's traveling they traveled from Texas to Oklahoma for his service, and then they traveled back to his graveside service, because he's interned there in the National Cemetery, and then they traveled back home to Texas, where they're having his celebration of life. So there's a lot to pray for there. And then Nate Lynam, a friend of mine from high school, I've known a long, long time. He passed away yesterday afternoon as well. So yesterday was a little bit of a rough day. So I'm a little off my A game. So I apologize for that. If I seem a little snappy, that's why. I'm trying not to be, but that's just the process, right? Which is okay, because that's going to take us into today's message. Because it is officially November, and as Tess mentioned with our potluck, we are just streamlining right into Thanksgiving. Turkey Day is coming quick. I love Turkey Day. I love turkey. Like, if I could replace chicken with turkey, I would happily do so. My wife won't let me. Says it's too expensive. She's probably right, but I love turkey that much. Matter of fact, I'll take turkey over a cheeseburger, believe it or not. Maybe not over pizza, but, you know, it's pretty close. It's right up there, you know. This is a holiday, you know, because I digress. It's that month where we start to settle in as we're going, you know. It's what we call the holiday season, of course. And this month especially is where we step back and we start taking account of the things that we're grateful for, right? And one of the places that we fail, we'll be looking at here over the course of the next couple of weeks, is we don't always give thanks for those times of hardship in our lives either, do we? Those painful times, those hard times, but those are important as well. We need to be thankful for it all, you know, and that is biblical. So as we get started here, I'd like to share a writing of Charles Spurgeon. He once wrote about a rose that had been taken. And I'd like to read through this and have everybody just kind of stick it in the back of your mind and have it there as something to think about for today as we go into our message. All right. And Spurgeon writes, "A gardener had been careful in tending to one particular rose, which was very fair to look at. But when he went out one morning to his favorite rose bush, he found that the flower of which he had taken such great care was gone. He was very upset, for he thought that some bad boy had come into the yard and stolen his best flower. He was complaining very bitterly about his loss when someone said, 'Hey, the master had been down to the garden this morning, and he has been admiring this rose bush. And he has taken away that fine bud of which you were so proud.' Then the gardener was delighted that he had been able to grow a flower that had attracted his master's notice. Instead of mourning any longer, he began to rejoice. So it should be with anything on which we have set our hearts. Let each of us say to our master, 'Lord, if it pleases you to take it, it pleases me to lose it. Why should I complain? Because you have taken from me what is really your own.'" Isn't that the truth? It applies to so many things. You know, it's funny because I'd already looked at that before I'd even gotten the news. It's like, oh. So it rings true. It does. We, you know, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, right? But it's all his. And it's all for his glory. You know, keeping in mind, or keeping this in mind, let's open our Bibles up to Psalm 103. So Psalm 103. And this is what where we're going to start looking at our thankfulness over the next couple weeks. This psalm is believed to have been written by David well into his old age. Summary: it's a summary of God's dealings with him. And it's a demonstration of God's love for us and tells us of his character. So Psalm 103. It goes. All right. And the word says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This is a very, very basic way to start the psalm, isn't it? And it's good because today, as we're going into this, we really should be taking back and looking at the basics. The basics are important. The basics are what we start building off of, right? No building that lasts is built off of just a ground alone. They're all built from a foundation, right? Our understanding of things are all built from a foundation, even math, right? We start with our basic one, two, threes before we start getting into multiplication or division, well before we start jumping into algebra or any of the other crazy stuff. Ugh, even just saying that sends shivers down my spine. I hate math. Ugh. Not my wife. She's over there shaking her head because she loves math. She loves it. That's her thing. You know, but I digress. You know, the basics are important. You know, sometimes, well, you know, really, we look at everything that's going on in our world, in the world today. Sometimes our shadows really overcast it, don't they? It's really easy to get tied up in things, to lose sight. David himself had been through a lot of hardships as well. A lot of coming and going with the Lord, right? As with us all. However, through it all, he always remembered to come back to the basics. He always started with the basics, as we should. It's a great example for all of us as followers. We should all come back, and we'd all do well to learn from this and from him. The basics and how we do things, like I said, is how we build. It's also where we start with our attitudes towards God, our attitudes in our relationship with Jesus, right? Because we build our attitudes. It's the way we start our foundation. Are we going into things with a good attitude or a bad attitude? Why do we have that? Do we need to change something? Right? We should all, especially as we go into the holiday season, and not only that, but as we get up every day, we should be starting the day with a grateful attitude. You know, yesterday I woke up, I didn't know what was going on. I was very anxious already. We all have those days. We wake up, something's just not right, right? Just a little off. We're not in a very people-y person, or we're not a people-y person mood, I should say. You know, slightest thing, or just kind of... Happens. That's why we start the day with the Lord, though. We should be able to come to the Lord in prayer, even if it's something as simple as starting in the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven, right? Something as simple as that could be all that's needed to change your day and start moving forward. And a big part of it with our attitude today is because we are so saturated with stuff of the world. We need to break away from the things of the world. We need to find ways to spend a little bit less time in it, right? Whether it's the TV, the radio, or social media, or whatever, you know, reading the newspaper, because all that stuff, what's it all built off of? The world and the drama and sucking you away and taking your eyes off of Jesus, right? So we'd all benefit greatly. Spend a little bit more time with the Lord. So we're going to break down this psalm here a little bit. We're going to start with the first couple of verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Examine it, because the Lord has blessed us with so much, we should be looking to him. But not only should we be looking to him, but we should be looking to try to bless him in return. You ever thought of that? How do you bless the Lord? Well, there's three things that we can and we should do. I'm going to list them out here. First, praise the Lord. Praise him. That's pretty simple, right? Praise the Lord. Keep looking towards him. Delight in him. Take joy in the fact that we have such an awesome God who does so much for us, who loves us so much. That's pretty basic, right? Second, esteem him. Ooh, there's a fancy word right there, esteem. What is this word? Well, as much as I'd like to say it's Churchanese, it's not. It's just one of those little kind of pompous words. It's esteem. We hold him in such great esteem. Well, really what it means is respect and admiration. Hold the Lord with great respect and admiration. Above all, above anyone, we should be looking to Jesus with our utmost respect and admiration. That's esteem. We give him all the credit, all of it, because it's all his. He knew us before we were in the womb. He knew us before he knitted us in the womb. He knew us before he created us. He didn't have to create us, but he saw fit to do it anyways. So everything leading up to our birth, for all those thousands of years, and everything since, and everything going past it because of what he's prepared for us. That's a lot. It's a lot that we should be giving him credit for, because it's not of us, right? Where it says, so that no man could boast. It's not about us, it's about him. So we should be giving him the credit for everything. Everything in front of us and everything behind the scenes for all of time. And we have to remember, he's always working, always working. And thirdly, the third thing that we can do is thank him. Thank him for all of this. Thank him for all that he's done, all that he's doing, all that he's going to do. Thank him just for, you know, for the simple fact that he chose for you to even exist. Thank him for the life lessons, the good, the bad, the ugly, the easy, the hard. Thank him. Thank him for the storm. Storm that surrounds us in our life so that we can know just how great, how good, and how loving he truly is. Those three things right there. Praise him, esteem him, and thank him. That's something good to meditate on, isn't it? I know, I list things out like that. I kind of feel like John Maxwell. I don't know if y'all ever listened to him. He's really big on numbers. Number one, number two. If you ever look at the notes for any of the stuff that he talks on, or if you've ever read any of his books, it's exactly the same as the way he talks too. Exactly the same. It's kind of fun. Let's go into verse 3 though, shall we? Psalm 103, verse 3. In verse 3, we see how we benefit from the Lord, who offers us forgiveness for all of our sin. All of it, not part of it, all of it. And he heals us. He heals us. Now, yeah, we look at how he heals us and we look at physical ailments, right? Because we all have little things that bother us and we're always looking for healing. But how about the biggest disease? Who knows what the biggest disease is that he heals us of? Nobody? What's the biggest disease that the Lord heals us from? No, close. There you go. Sin. Yes, sin. That is the biggest calamity, and each and every single one of us has been infected with it. Right? No man is without sin. It's a disease that only has one cure. And that cure is Jesus. Because there is nothing that we can do that will ever cure sin. Nothing we can do will ever get rid of sin. That is God and God alone. He, our great physician, has offered us a cure. He's offered us that cure through Jesus. Through the blood sacrifice of Jesus. And we are cleansed of our sin and we are forgiven. Because of that, we're seen blameless in the eyes of the Father. Blameless. We're no longer facing death. We're no longer facing separation from the Father. We have a place at the table with Him. We have a place in heaven with work. A place in heaven to praise and worship Him for all the rest of eternity. Greater than any treasure that He'd have stored up for us is that we are reunited and able to go and unite with Him for eternity in heaven as adopted sons and daughters, adopted back into the family. It's a pretty precious gift, isn't it? Definitely one that we shouldn't gamble with. And it's definitely something that we should share with others so that they can find the same gift as well. Because it's offered to us all. Going through this a little faster than I thought I would today. Let's look at verse 4, shall we? Psalm 103, verse 4. Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? I've already started alluding to this one, haven't I? We've been taken out of that bondage of sin, to sin and death. We're free by the blood of Christ. We were bought at the highest price imaginable. The highest price imaginable. Right? I kind of talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago. You had the king called for the servant. The servant, there's no way he could ever come close to repaying the gift, but he forgave him anyway. Right? It's the same thing as Jesus forgiving us. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has forgiven us. And it's at a price that we can never repay. No matter how hard we tried, no matter how much we worked, our works could never get there. And not only that, but when we were bought, we were restored to the place that we were always intended to be. We're restored to the Father. We have a place with Him. The greatest rescue mission ever conducted. We love that, right? Rescue missions. We see them on TV. We see them in movies. You know, maybe hear them in some of the old audio stuff. You ever listen to like the old Dragnets or stuff like that, right? Green Hornet. Good times. I don't know. I'm kind of a sucker for some of the old radio programs, right? I love them. But everybody likes a good rescue story. Good old-fashioned rescue mission. Like, the good guys, they're going to go in there against the bad guys. It's good and evil. And they're going to get the innocent victim. Well, the truth is, none of us is really innocent. But Jesus undertook that mission for us just the same. Sacrificed it all so that we could live. And I'd like to kind of pause here for a second. Because we always talk about the blood of Christ an awful lot. You know, churches love throwing that out there, but this is a place that is a little bit of churchanese. We don't talk a whole lot about what that means, especially for new believers. So if there's somebody new out there watching or somebody listening even, hey, this one's for you. Maybe if there's somebody in here who isn't quite sure where this stems from, this is a good place. See, we're always talking about being covered by the blood of Christ. So I'm going to break it down as simply as I can. Marine Corps, it's what we say, break it down Barney style. So I apologize if I get a little oversimplified. Those of you who are a little better versed, don't crucify me, please. but we could actually learn about this if we go all the way back to Exodus 12. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. All right. But Exodus 12 is a good place for you to go back and learn and read through so you can learn a little bit more about it. All right. And we do. We see exactly what it is. See, God, he was punishing Egypt. He is punishing Pharaoh and all the Egyptians. And this goes all the way back to the first Passover. To punish them, it's one of the plagues, he was taking all the firstborn. And when I say all the firstborn, I'm not just talking about the firstborn children of Egypt. We're talking the firstborn animals, the firstborn of everything. Gone. How horrible is that? Just thinking about that. That's pretty horrid, isn't it? But God also knew, hey, I need to protect my people. My people need to be protected from this plague. I don't want them impacted by it. I love them. I want them to come out safely on the other side. So he told them how they could do it. They're going to go out and they're going to get a lamb. Symbolic of Jesus, right? Jesus the lamb. They're going to take this lamb. They were going to slaughter it. They're going to have their meal and all that, right? But after they slaughtered it, they were to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost, the doorframe, basically, right? Both sides. So when this plague came through, depending on your translation, it's referred to as the destroyer. So we can imagine it's probably an angel, an archangel that came through, right? Destroyer came through. He was not concerned about who was in the building. He came through, he saw the blood of the lamb, symbolic of the blood of Christ, and he knew everybody in there belonged to God. And it just moved along. Covered by the blood of Christ, right? Covered by the blood of the lamb. This is where it starts. This is where it comes from. This is what we're talking about when we talk about being covered by the blood of Jesus. And just like those doors, the door frames, were covered in the sacrificial blood of the lamb, our sins are also covered in the sacrificial blood of Jesus when he took the cross for us, when he took on the sin of all mankind. Everyone who lived, everyone who was living, and everyone who was going to live, right? No greater love than that of the one who died so that we could live. You see, for the Christian, there's two acts being carried out here. We refer to them as mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Grace being something we don't deserve, but we get anyway. Mercy is not receiving something that we absolutely do deserve. 100%. And we deserve every bit of punishment for our sin. Every bit. But we've gotten a reprieve. Because despite how many times we blaspheme, how many times we talk trash, how many times we harden our heart, turn around, walk away, Jesus, in his infinite love, still made that sacrifice for us. And all he's asked in return is chump change. Chump change. He asked that we repent of our sin. Ooh, there's a little bit more churchanese, isn't it? Basically, in other words, he's saying, stop breaking my laws. Stop breaking the laws of God, right? That's what he's saying there. And then, of course, that we profess him as our Lord and our Savior, right? They'll come, every tongue will profess, and every knee will bend. Better do it now, before it's too late. Do it now when you come into a relationship with him. And when we profess him as our Lord and Savior, what we're doing is we're proclaiming our love for him, our allegiance to him, that we recognize that our life is not our own, but his. And that we are to serve him. That we give our lives over to save, or it's not save, but to serve him. We proclaim his word for all the world to hear. So everybody has a chance to do the same. So that nobody runs the risk of being separated from the Father for all of eternity. Oop, and I had another, another slide in there, but I skipped it. Sorry about that. So we'll go into the final verse here, Psalm 103, verse 5. Psalm 103, verse 5. The psalmist writes, "Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles?" We need to be thankful for the very fact that he seen fit to renew us. Now, we get a little bit hyper-focused on what's going on with our bodies, don't we? We have to remember that our bodies here on earth are temporary. These are temporary vessels for us carrying it through. They were never meant to be eternal. Things are going to slow down. Things are going to stop working the way they're supposed to. We're going to start getting wrinkles. We're going to start getting gray hairs. Maybe we're going to get hairs in places that we didn't know, think we would, and lose hairs in places that we thought we'd keep. Who knows? Right? Sometimes the vision goes, the memory goes, that hand-eye coordination, or just the coordination in general. Sometimes things give out completely. Right? You look at people dealing with certain things like MS. That's a big one. Just trying to pick up a cup of water. You look at Michael J. Fox. He's a prime example, right? Parkinson's. That's another rough one. All the motor skills. Not just trying to function, to get up, to put on clothes, to feed yourself, but even to communicate with your loved ones. That's a tough one. You know, we all kind of laugh at when we see it in movies sometimes. Y'all remember that movie, The Great Outdoors, John Candy, Dan Aykroyd, and they're at the bar, and the guy who got struck by lightning, he comes up and it's like, "How many times have you been struck now?" And it's funny, we look at it, we're like, okay, there's comedy, right? Because it's supposed to make us laugh, but in reality, things like this happen to people, it's not so funny, especially not to them. Their entire life has been altered. For entertainment value, yeah, it's funny, we get a laugh out of it. It was intended to be that way. But when we're not looking at entertainment, we need to be a little bit more cognizant, a little bit more loving. Instead of rushing through, like, what's wrong with this guy? He trip out one time too many, should put down the LSD, right? Those are the kind of thoughts that we have. Instead of rushing those thoughts, like, oh, maybe I should pray for this guy. Something's not firing right. He needs the Holy Spirit, right? He needs Jesus. So we get hyper-focused on these things. We get older. You know, those aches and pains start creeping in. If you have hardware, maybe a little bit more of those aches and pains. It happens. It says sometimes even the memory being a struggle. But the other side of that is that we are being renewed daily. We're being renewed spiritually. Every day when you stop and you go to the Lord and you get fed spiritually, that spiritual manna, right, in your life. You're being renewed. You're getting stronger in spirit. You're getting stronger in your soul. You're getting stronger in your relationship, in your walk with Jesus. That eternal walk, right? You're no longer crawling, but walking. And before long, you're running spiritually. And the more you do that daily, the more you're prepared for the day when you go to eternity with Jesus. This is our learning ground right now, right? This is our proving ground. We do it all here before we go there. God's hard at work trying to get us ready so that when we come to him, that we have that relationship and he's seeing that our spiritual needs are met. And the stronger our relationship is with him, the less certain other things matter. Think of it this way, when we're young, we want all the stuff. We want the clothes. We want the jewelry. We want the cars. We want the houses. We want the prestige that comes with certain positions, right? The high paying jobs, right? We want to be looked up to, just right? As you get older, it's a little less important. You start to mature. Some of that stuff's a little less important. You know, I feel bad for these guys. They're 60 years old and they're still reliving the glory days like Al Bundy. I scored 3 touchdowns in a single game. Like, okay, dude, you can't even play Madden now. Chill out. Come to Jesus. Right? But you think about it. That's also why as we get older, sometimes we get those little spurts of energy and we're like, you know what? I had this stuff and today's the day. I'm going to go home and take a shower. I'm going to change my clothes, whatever, pull back my hair. And this stuff is going to go. It's gone. Right? We get in that little cleaning frenzy and it goes out the door. Matter of fact, that happened over at my mom's house just the other day. And when all that stuff goes out the door, it feels pretty good, doesn't it? Like, ooh, I got some space. That stuff is gone. That's awesome. Cool. Why? Because it doesn't matter anymore. It served its purpose. Now, it could go on to a new home. It could bless somebody else. Or it could go to the garbage monster. Who knows? The fact is it's gone. We don't need it anymore. And we all had things like that in our lives. Right? When I became a man, I put childish things away. Ladies, it goes for you too. When you became a woman, you put girly things away. I hope. It's no different. It's the same thing. And that happens when we mature in our walk with Christ, especially. The more that we mature in our relationship with Him, the more that we walk with Him, the less the ways of the world matter. The less we're caught up and concerned about whether or not somebody likes me versus whether or not we're going to proclaim the word of God or if we're going to do the right thing, right? And it's because what matters to us as we mature in this is we're more concerned with a relationship with God. We're more concerned with reflecting the will of God. We're more concerned with making sure that what we're doing, what we want, is a reflection of Him and His will for us. But not only that, we don't look to death with such trepidation, I guess would be the word. Or a word, anyway. Because, yeah, well, nobody looks forward to necessarily dying here on earth and going through whatever that death might be. When you're a believer, when you're a Christian, when you follow Christ, you look forward to being reunited in heaven with the Father, don't you? That ultimate reward, that ultimate place. Back with the family. No more pain. No more tears. No more sin. No more dealing with things that are meaningless. Just the things that are godly and the things that are eternal. So as we close today, I'd like for everyone to think back to that rose that we talked about when we started today. And we're quick to thank God for the roses in our lives. But what about the thorns? What about the thorns? Usually not, right? We'd rather clip them and get them out of the way, huh? Nobody wants to deal with the thorns. But the reality is those thorns are blessings that serve a purpose as well. Well, the thorns on a rose, they serve a purpose. They're not there by accident. And when we look at a rose, we should recognize them for what they are. That's our trials and tribulations in life. They mold our character. They shape it. They help us to learn and to grow to be more Christ-like. And when we see this, we need to remember that much like David, we have to get back to the basics. We have to get back to the basics. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how painful it gets, no matter how good it is. Scottish preacher George Matheson, he had the same issue. It's a human issue. When things were good, he'd praise the Lord. When things weren't so good, well, wasn't so quick to praise the Lord then. It's quick to prayer. Lord, help me. But not so quick to praise. It wasn't until his eyesight started to go. He dealt with this for quite some time. Can you imagine that? And your eyesight just goes? Can't rely on your eyes anymore? You can't trust your eyes anymore? That'd be scary. And for most people, when that happens, it happens like this. Like right now, it's like you can see this, right? But slowly but surely, it starts just like a tunnel. Until it's either all gone or it's just barely a pinpoint and you struggle. That's what he was facing, losing his vision. But finally, he came to the Lord and his vision changed. Not his physical vision. His physical vision was still shot. When I say his vision changed, it's the vision of his outlook on life. He got to a point where he was struggling, and that struggle went away when he was able to say this prayer. My God, I have never thanked you for my thorn. I have never thanked you a thousand times, I have thanked you a thousand times for my roses, but not once for my thorn. I've been looking forward to a world where I shall get compensated for my cross. But I have never thought of my cross as itself a present glory. Teach me the value of my thorn. My friends, they didn't place roses upon the heads of Christ. It was a crown of thorns that they placed upon his head. We need to get back to basics. We need to thank him for the good, but we really need to thank him for the bad. And on that note, let's pray. Lord, we come to you in this season of thankfulness. We have thanks beyond measure. We're thankful for so many things that you've blessed us with. Some of those things we're just learning of. Some of those things we're just now learning that we need to be thankful for. Other things we still need to learn about. But just the same, we thank you for all that we know of. And we especially thank you for those that we don't. Sometimes it's those things that we don't even need to know of. You exemplify your love for us, even though we fail to do the same for you. And you continue to forgive us for our failures and help us all to do better, to become better people. So we ask that you continue to do so and help us to become more thankful and help us all to have a prayer of gratitude for who you are and all that you do. And especially not just for the roses in our lives, but for the thorns. And all his people said, amen and amen. Remember, as you leave here today, you are loved and you are blessed. So go and be the church.
Thank you for joining us at Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. If this message spoke to you, or if you would like to help us reach more people, please like, review, and share our podcast. You can learn more about our ministry or how you can support us at www.thecross66.org. Until next time, take care and God bless.